Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Somebody say, I serve an incredible God. Say one more time. Say, I serve an incredible God. There is no equal to my incredible God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my heart is so full today. I'm so thankful to the Lord. I'm so, so thankful to the Lord. The Lord loves it when in the environment of his congregation, his people just lift up their voices and just praise him. That's all he's looking for. He's looking for our praise, our thanksgiving, our gratitude, for us to count. The psalmist said, David wrote that psalm after one of the biggest breakthroughs that God gave him. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. And then he started to count it. That's why you have Psalm 103 in the Bible, because he wrote it down. He started to count it. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who redeems your soul from destruction? Who fills your mouth with good things? Renews your youth like the eagle. Hallelujah. That's why you have Psalm 103. He wrote it down. Hallelujah. And everywhere where people lift up their voices and recount the goodness of God, God shows up to inhabit the praises of his people. Hallelujah. Would you give the Lord one more incredible praise today? Go ahead. Give him one more incredible praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Amen. Glory to God. Woo. Yes. Hallelujah. He's so awesome. He's so worthy. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you for being a part of our celebration, this Jubilee Praise celebration season. The year is almost wrapping up. Let's finish strong. Our incredible God deserves our incredible praise. Amen and amen. Let's start out here. Psalms 126, towards the end of my message, I'm going to open up the floor and we're going to have a time of thanksgiving. And the praise team will come back and help us. They will lead us in singing and dancing and jumping. We're going to jump, oh, everything. Some of us will roll on the ground. Some of us will jump. If you can jump and your head can touch the ceiling, good. You know, and some of us will dance. You will dance. You will lose your gele. It's good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want the Lord to know today some grateful people came to church. I said I want the Lord to know some grateful people came to the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. In Psalms 126, and when I do that, when we open it up and we dance, you bring your thanksgiving offering. Some of you, you can give online. Those of you who want to give electronically, and those of you who want to give in person, we will give you an envelope so you can give, and our ushers will help you. If you want to dance out to the front and drop it in the front, you can do that too. Whatever you want to do, there'll be every way to give that thanksgiving offering today. It's the first one we're doing this year, and it's the last one we're doing this year. So glory to God. Let the Lord know how thankful you are. Amen. Psalms 126 from verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Whew. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Amen. I say we are glad. We are just glad. Hallelujah. We're like little children in the candy store on Christmas morning, under the Christmas tree, opening the gifts. We are just glad. You know, when little children, when they go under those Christmas trees to open the gifts, they are not thinking, oh. They are not thinking, who is watching me? Do you think those children care? No, they are just so excited. They want to see the gift. And then as they unwrap the gift and they begin to open the gift, like, ah! They lost all their dignity. The children, they lose all their dignity. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you lose all your dignity and you are in the presence of God, you just praise anyhow. You don't care who is looking. You don't care who. What's your business? You are not dancing for them. You are dancing for your Father. Right? You are not shouting for them. You are shouting for the Father. Hallelujah. He said, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Then he said in verse 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. How does he turn it? I want to answer that question this morning. What provokes God to turn it? Is it just you saying it? What provokes God to move in your life in a way that is beyond comprehension? Like we said last week, the word incredible. Look at some of the synonyms from the original Greek word in that scripture. Put that up for me, please, Mariah. What scripture is that? Mark 5:26. And in the Amplified, I don't have it in my note this morning, but let's just read it. Luke 5:26, I think it is. Luke 5:26. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. An overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all. And they recognized and praised and thanked God. And they were filled with and controlled by reverential fear. And they kept saying, we have seen wonderful and strange and incredible and unthinkable things today. Yes. That word translated into strange or incredible things, these are some of the other words that are synonymous with that word. Actually, the dictionary Webster's describes incredible as too extraordinary and improbable to be believed. That is, when you look at it, it doesn't make sense. You can't explain it away. There is no natural explanation for it. I love to live in that realm. I personally will not have it any other way. I love to live in the realm of the incredible, where you are at a loss for words to describe and explain how that happened. How did that happen? People go, that's just incredible. That's incredible. That's amazing. That's wonderful. Too extraordinary and improbable to be believed. Amazing, unthinkable, unimaginable. These are some of the other synonyms. Astonishing, remarkable, unexpected, uncommon, incredible, wonderful. Well, how does God do incredible things? How does he turn the captivity? See how they say, turn our captivity, right? And then the very next verse, they started talking about, look at that verse 5. Go back to Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Right? Yes, sir. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Remember, I ask you, how does God turn their captivity? On what basis does God turn the captivity of people? On what basis does he do incredible things in the lives of his people? On what basis? On what basis do people elicit miracles? And you look at it and you say, that's just incredible. That's true. You can't explain that. He said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. he that goes forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Bearing precious seed. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his harvest with him. Precious seed is not only money. In fact, during our anniversary service 1 month ago, in October, we started with this scripture, and the precious seed I was asking everybody in the service to sow that day was the seed of laughter. And there were many people who didn't feel like laughing. I know a number of situations in real time as I was preaching that Sunday morning in October. I knew a number of real life situations in real time, and I knew some of those people were online. And I know some of those people were here in the service. And the Lord was challenging them to laugh, to sow laughter as a seed. Because a sacrifice is not something you feel like giving. A sacrifice is not something you feel like making. It's not something you want to give away. When you have one child and God says, give me your one child. That one doesn't elicit laughter. It elicits tears and crying. So sacrifice is not only money, but sacrifice implies something that is precious to you that you give away. And when you give God something that is precious to you, when you laugh when you don't feel like laughing in praise to God, when you lift up your hand and you start to praise God and you start to jump and you start to dance and you start to say hallelujah, 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 and you don't have a reason to do it, that is precious in the sight of God.
Yes.
Of course, material things is part of sacrifice. That's why we give material gifts. That's why we have Thanksgiving offering today. It was time for laughter in October, so you laughed. Today is going to be time for Thanksgiving offering, material. So you bring your laughter and you bring your material gift. Don't come and say, Pastor, all I have is laughter today. No, that was October. So, Pastor, I brought so much laughter. No, that was laughter. We got that laughter last month. Today it is laughter plus. Somebody say laughter plus. Now. Oh, yes. And I can tell you, I've been living like this now for almost 40 years. It has never failed. Laughter plus. When you bring your sacrifice, your precious seed. Oh. Your precious seed. And people say, oh, but God doesn't. Yeah, he does. I told you that last week. He doesn't need your dollars. Does God spend dollars? Does God need money, food, bread? No. What is it God is looking for? Is your sacrifice. No. He's looking for praise, but he's also looking for your sacrifice. It is not. He's not hungry for your food. He's not looking for your dollars, but he is looking for your sacrifice. That spirit, let me read this to you. I preached this last week. Your spirit of sacrifice is what satisfies God. Because your spirit of sacrifice connect your heart completely to the heart of God. I have to preach this another time. I don't have time this morning. But listen to this. I have to preach this some other time. Not ready for this one yet. Listen to this. Creation began with sacrifice. Creation is sustained by sacrifice. Creation attains its highest expression of glory through sacrifice. Take that in and let it sink. Creation began with sacrifice. Creation is sustained by sacrifice. Creation attains its highest expression of glory through sacrifice. God is not looking. What is it you have? Nothing. When God asked Abraham for Isaac, do you know how many millions of Isaac God has in heaven? Between that time and today, do you know there are millions of Isaac that have already been born? Yes. Do you know this? Yes. Millions of children have been born named Isaac. Between when God asked for Abraham's son and today. So God was not looking for Isaac. He's not hungry for what is he? What is he? Is he kill him? Is he God going to eat him? What was God looking for? Shatter. Makedada. My friends, let me tell you something. You have not known glory until you experience sacrifice. The greatest power on this universe runs on the power of sacrifice. You have not known it. When Jesus hung on the tree and he gave his life voluntarily and he looked down and said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. Do you know what happened that day? And since then, billions of people have come into the family of God because of one man's sacrifice. How does God turn it? He said, God, turn the captivity. How does he do it? He turns it based on sacrifice. First of all, the sacrifice of praise. But then, other sacrifices. He does it based on sacrifice. Hallelujah. Amen. I say hallelujah. Amen. Put up for me real quickly. Jeremiah chapter 33. I won't preach long at all so that we can have Thanksgiving and then we can have communion and then we can have our love feast. Glory to God. I understand there's a lot of food. I've not eaten in a while, though. Ah. I prepare myself. Oh. Put that up for me. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 11. Put it up. Look at it. How does he turn it? On what basis does he turn that captivity? It's based on sacrifice. Look at it. The voice, Jeremiah 33, 11, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first heaven. Why? On what basis? I say on what basis?
Sacrifice.
Just because they dream about it? Just because they look cute? The voice of joy. The voice of praise. They that will bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of my God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
They that will bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of my God. Is it, what is it? Is he hungry? What is he looking for? Is he looking for her? What is he looking for? Go there to Psalm 50. What is it we have? What is it we have? Nothing. Nothing we have that impresses God. The only thing that moves him is our sacrifice. You know, I told you last week, the story of the widow. You remember the widow?
Yes.
That Jesus was talking about widow's might. We talk about widow's might. It's not the magnitude of the might. Why did Jesus single out that widow? Amongst all the rich people that were given, why was it that widow with that small might? Jesus said, because she gave everything she had. Everything. See, that's sacrifice. That's when you give everything you have and you don't know where the next one is coming, that's sacrifice. You don't know how much that grips the heart of God. It's not what is he looking for. It's not what is he looking for. He's not looking for what you have. It's your sacrifice. Because your sacrifice connects your heart to the heart of God. My friends, you cannot know the highest quality of life until you become a sacrificial person. You will never know it. Do you know what God said to Abraham? After God called Abraham, told him, give me your only son, and he tested him. The Bible says he was testing him, but Abraham didn't know. But when Abraham walked in obedience and took his son up to that mountain, Moriah, and lifted up his hand, and he was going to sacrifice, that God said, stop, stop. And right there, there was a ram caught by his horn in the thicket. So many of you will find rams caught by his horn in the thicket. In this season. In this season. It's a mystery how the ram got there. How did he get there? How did he get there? It's a mystery. But when you walk in the spirit of sacrifice, there are many mysteries that will happen in your life.
Amen.
People will just be saying, mystery after mystery. You haven't seen anything, no? When you enter into the realm of sacrifice, my friend, you will know a life like you have never known before.
Yes.
Your own ability, your power, the things you have can only carry you so far. They can only get you so far. There is a place where God wants to take you, where what you have today can't get you there. Can't get you there. What you have today can pay a mortgage. What you have today can buy a car. What you have today can send children to college. But God created you for more than that. All those things I just counted. Okay, we have done all of them. All of them. And we are still not satisfied. If those things could satisfy you, we will be satisfied today. We have done everything. Multiple homes. Multiple. Multiple this, multiple that, multiple college this, college that, this, that, this. I mean, if all that could satisfy, today we will be satisfied. We will say, okay, we are done. What are we still looking for? There is more. I said there is more.
There is more.
Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. There are some people who are living like, there is a gentleman who asked me many years ago, he said, Pastor, do you have college funds? Are you preparing? Our children were very little at the time. Very little. Christine and Edie, very little. He asked me out of a good heart because that's all he knew. But he saw how every week I was preaching on the pulpit, just like I'm preaching today. It has never changed. Yes, it hasn't changed in almost 40 years.
Yes.
The way I'm preaching right now is exactly, ask anybody. But you know what is giving fuel to this preaching? It is the testimonies. You can't argue with it.
Uh-huh.
You can't fight it. Uh-huh. You can fight against the preaching. You can say, that sounds strange. That is ridiculous. You can talk big language. But when you see the testimony, you can't argue. Success shut every mouth. Success shut every mouth. You can't question it. You can't question it.
Yes.
You can question the talk. You can question the language. You can question, say, this. I remember one person, back then, we still used to be in the school. We used to be in the school back then. Where's Cleveland Heights? I may be pointing in the wrong direction. One pastor came from New York. He came, sat down to some of the services. Some people were just, I'll be preaching and sweating. And he just see the people just sitting down there, just looking, just like. So one day he came to me after service. He said, Pastor, I think you are preaching too much grammar. He said, they are not getting it. You have too much. He said, like I was telling you the meaning of incredible today. I said, Webster said, this is how I used to preach there. He said, they are not getting it. You see, the spirit is not there. I said, the spirit is not there. I said, my brother, it is not my, there's nothing wrong with my preaching. The people, their eyes are just not open yet. So what do I need to do? I just need to keep preaching. One day, their eyes will be open. He said, it's not true. He said, I think you are speaking too much. So I gave him an opportunity to preach. It's true. You don't know the backstory. I'm telling you stories now. So I gave him I gave him the pulpit one Sunday. I still remember the message. He titled the message Talita Kumi from Mark chapter 5. You see, he didn't preach grammar. He didn't preach from Webster's. He preached Talita Kumi. Do you know Talita Kumi is right there in the Bible? He talked about how, you know what the meaning of Talita Kumi is. He made it very simple. And when he finished, the people were still looking at him like this. I said, bro, so when he comes to the back, that day, you know, back there, we didn't have office, we didn't have everything. We just had a chair, you have to set up chair where we feel we'll pack up everything in a car. We go load everything, we pack the place up. So I pulled him to the side where they were clearing everything, the chair. I said, bro, that your Talita Kumi. They still did not get it. I said, they still did not get it too. Me, I'm preaching Webster. You are preaching Talita Kumi. But when I'm preaching, they are looking, duh. You are preaching, they are looking, duh. So it is not our preaching, bro. So what do you need to do? Just keep on preaching. But they are getting it today. Yes. People are calling us from all over the world. Back then, nobody was calling us from all over the world. Nobody was calling us from all over this country. We have to change our schedule now and go back to Florida and stay one weekend in December. We won't be in service. At least one, two actually, before Christmas service. Well, it's because there is a grace that God has given. Amen. That is producing.
Amen.
You can't argue with it. Amen. You can argue if you want. If you are a lawyer or you are in law school, you feel like talking grammar, you can argue. But you can't change it. You cannot change it. There's a grace. In different parts of our nation, in different parts of the world, the word of God will speak.
Yes. Amen.
I said the word of God will speak.
Amen.
So we just got to keep preaching it.
Yes.
I don't care if it's two or three. You see me? I remember one day in the, it was in the storefront in Maple Heights. We came that day. I think there was only three people in church. Three. I had prepared this message all night. I got to the pulpit, three. When I started preaching, this is like 20 something years ago. When I started preaching, the anointing came upon me. The chair that was in front of me, Pastor Larry, move your back just for 1 minute. I'll give you your chair back. Give me 1 minute, just give me this chair. The chair that was right in front of me, while the anointing came upon, I stood on the chair. Three people. No, God is my witness. Three people. I stood on the chair and started spitting at the three people. I'm not sure if they wish they didn't come to church that day. But you know what? That word was a seed 20-something years ago. It's still producing today. It's going to produce for the rest of our lives.
Amen.
Oh, I know it.
Amen.
It's going to produce into the future.
Amen.
That's why you keep preaching it.
Amen.
Every opportunity, just preach it.
Amen.
Just preach it. What is it that will turn? What is it that provokes God? It's the spirit of sacrifice.
Yes.
There are times you don't feel like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based on whether you are happy to do it. It's not based on whether you have all the encouragement to do it. There are times you don't feel like giving. There are times you look at all the numbers. You say, Lord, it doesn't line up. He already knows. So he's waiting to see. Do you trust me?
Yes.
He praised him, sang, I will always trust him. I will trust.
Yes.
Do you trust him?
Yes.
It's easy to sing that, but can you trust him? Because trusting him means that you lose it all. You give it, and you then wait for him to supply it.
Amen.
What is it that makes it? What is it that turns that captivity? Brother, okay? It's sacrifice, oh. It's sacrifice.
Amen.
There is a spirit of sacrifice.
Amen. Amen.
That is, it is not just a one-time, and let's try. Some people say trial and error. Let's just try it. No. It's a lifestyle.
Yes, it is. It is.
It's a lifestyle. You do it today. You do it tomorrow. You keep doing it. It's like a farmer. A farmer is a farmer. A farmer always sows. A farmer will always sow. A farmer will always sow. It's not just for sowing. It's not hobby. Your walk with God cannot be a hobby. Practicing the supernatural cannot be a hobby. It must be something you are fully devoted to. You are fully you devoted your life to it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a sacrifice.
Amen.
It's a bring the sacrifice of praise. It's that sacrifice of praise that causes God to turn captivity.
Hallelujah.
Look at what David said in Psalm 54 verse 6. And then let's quickly go through those things we touched last week. What is that sacrifice of praise? What does it look like? Quickly, let's do it quickly and close. Look at Psalm 54 verse 6. What does he say? I will freely do what?
Sacrifice
unto you. Then I will do what? I will praise your name, O Lord. For what? It is good. It is good. I will freely sacrifice. I will freely. Remember when in Psalm 50, it was in Psalm 50 before this Psalm 54. You know, if you read that from verse 7, Psalm 50, go there. Thank you, Moriah. I'm working you a lot today. Look at it. Verse 7. Hear, O my people. I will speak, O Israel. And I will testify against you. I am God, even God. Me, that's God talking now. I will not reprove you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings to have been continually before me. So God is saying, I don't mind you living a life of sacrifice. Sacrificial praise. Sacrificial giving. Sacrificial service. Let's break that sacrifice into those three major areas. Sacrificial praise, sacrificial serving, sacrificial giving. All of that is based on love. When you love God with all your heart, you will continually sacrificial praise, sacrificial serve, sacrificial give. When you love God, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. When you love God with all your heart, you will sacrificial praise. You will sacrificial serve. You will sacrificial give. There may be nobody else doing it, but you will do it. When you love God, and you will do it with joy.
Amen.
You will do it with joy. You wait for cheerleaders, others to join me. If others join me, I will do it better. If other people can just join me doing it, the quality of my doing, it doesn't know. We are not waiting for other people. You do it.
Amen.
Do it until somebody else says, I will, okay, me too, I will join you. Ooh.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Because I don't mind, though, that your sacrifice is continually before me. I don't mind. That's not what I'm angry with you. That's not what I'm upset with you over. But I want you to understand, you lack understanding. God said you lack understanding. Slap your neighbor, tell them, I think God may be talking to you. He said in verse 9, I will take no bullock out of your house, nor he goat out of your fold. For every beast of the forest is mine. And the cattle on a thousand is all mine. What are you going to give me? I own it all. You don't understand. You lack understanding. What are you going to give me? I own it all. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field. They are all mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to me. Stop holding on to that thing. Come on. Let's lose you from that brave, that shackle. I like the way Delay is looking at me preaching. He has that look. I like it. It's like, so I like preaching to these young people. I tell you, some of them are going to be preachers too. Say, Pastor, you love preaching. I love preaching to young people, little children, because many of them are receiving the anointing for preaching. Yes. They are going to preach to their generation, many of these young people. When the world is going to hell, they will be there. They'll stand there like God's mouthpiece. Say, no, Jesus is the way. Let's go back this way. Jesus is the way. Let's go back this way. Why? Because they saw somebody doing it from childhood. They are receiving that spirit. It's coming on them. He said, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls? What do you have that will satisfy me? Will I drink the blood of goats? How well did you cook it? What kind of spices did you put in it? It can't satisfy me. Because there are spices you don't know about that we have in heaven here in the corridor, back there in the pantry. You have not even thought, you don't know it. You don't know. There are smells. You can't, if you smell them while you are in this natural body, you may just pass out. There is a realm. There is a realm of glory. You have not even sniffed it. You have not sniffed it. But look at what he said in verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving. That's all I'm looking for. This is all I'm looking for. Offer unto God thanksgiving. And pay your vows unto the Most High God. Somebody said, Pastor, but I didn't make any vow. You did. You did. Can I say it, Lord? Can I? Do I have the liberty to say this? One way or the other, what belongs to God that you hold on to will be taken away from you. Do I have the liberty, Lord, to say this further? One way or the other, whatever belongs to God that you hold on to and you keep in your possession will be taken away. Unfortunately, it may be taken away in the most painful way. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay your vows unto the Most High God. Oh, Jesus. Do I have the liberty to say this? How much can you pay him for the breath you breathe? You get up every morning. You get in your car, you turn on your engine, you drive to work. How much do you owe him for the blood in your veins? How much do you owe him? For the privileges. I love those things. Those testimonies I heard today. Many of them had a lot to do with how God brought me to this state. How God, do you know, this is the greatest nation on earth. You and I are sitting down on chairs here. There are people who will give their lives to live in this nation. Do you know this? What did you do? How did you deserve it? Are you better than them? Are you better than them? There are people crying every day. God, if you can just. Some of them are dying. In the sea. In tankers. While being transported to this great nation. You and I. We can just walk in. We can just drive. We can just go wherever we want to go. What did we do to deserve this? What did we do? How much can we pay our God? How much? Somebody say, Pastor, me, I'm hiding, no. I'm not doing free. It's okay, but actually, you are here. Hallelujah. Yeah. What can we pay him? There are people whose lives are upended every day. Every day. Parents separated from children. Children separated from. Do you know what did we do to deserve this? How do we qualify for this? And you get, Pastor, you don't understand. I had to pay my mortgage. Mortgage. Okay. Pay your mortgage. Pay it. Pay it very well. Pay it very well. Pay that mortgage. But whatever belongs to God, that you hold on to, one way or the other, to be taken away from you. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Who is ready to offer to God thanksgiving today? Who is ready to say, God, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve it. It's because of your goodness. It's because of your goodness. It's because of your goodness. Sickness should have killed me. I should have lost everything. I don't deserve to be here. Accident should have taken me out many years ago. I don't deserve to be here. I didn't do anything to qualify to be here. This is your goodness and your mercy. It's because of your goodness and because of your mercy that I'm still here in the land of the living. In the land of the living. Oh, glory to God. I got my mind together. My body strong and healthy. Hallelujah. In the land of the living. It's because of your goodness and your mercy. Who is ready to offer praise? The last verse in that Psalm, Psalm 54, verse 23. Whosoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conversation aright, I will show my salvation. God will do incredible things in your life. You know, the last scripture I read last week, before we close, as David and the children of Israel started to sing and they started to praise, David's wife stood at the top of the house looking out from the window. And the Bible says she looked at her husband. You know what? Let's close in that scripture. Put it up for me. It's 1 Chronicles. I think it's 1 Chronicles 15. Look for the last verse in the Amplified. Whatever the last verse is in the Amplified. Put it up for me. She stood there looking at the man praising God. You know, I listed for you 7 things that constitute your sacrifice of praise. You remember last week? I listed for you 7 things that constitute your sacrifice of praise. Somebody, if you took notes, what are those seven things? Read them out to me real quick. I don't want to do that. What are these seven things that constitute your sacrifice of praise? Quick, 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 quick. Number one, why are you people looking? Like they used to look in the school. Duh. Did you take notes? Did you listen to the message last week? Did you go back and listen to it on podcast? No? Ha. So I'm just wasting my time preaching to you. Let's take it from number one. What's the number one? Thank you. Gladness and rejoicing. That's the first one. You have to come with gladness and rejoice. Everything else you do, if there's no gladness and rejoicing, forget it. It's not. It doesn't qualify as a sacrifice. Number two. Thank you. Sacrifices of quality offering. Thank you. I'm so happy today. Somebody took note. Kai, thank you, Jesus. I feel happy. At least somebody heard this message. Thank you, Lord. Number three. Dance before the Lord, not before man, with all your might. Dance before, all of this was in David, though. We saw this in David, 2 Samuel 6. Dance before the Lord, not before man, with all your might. Thank you. Number four. Put on your linen effort, your garment of praise, and your best outfit. Right? Thank you. Number five. Shouting and sound of the trumpet and celebratory music. Thank you. Number six. Leaping and dancing before the Lord, not before man. Finally, number seven. Do it with all your heart and with great humility. Do it with all your heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory to God. Whew. The rest of you who are just looking at door, you have to go and listen to the message again. If not, you owe me. When next I come to this service, I'm going to ask you. If you can't tell me you owe me, you have to give me offering. You have to give me a special offering. See, the laughter is going down. When church people hear offering, they go, no, we bind that devil. We bind the devil of offering. They don't like offering. Oh, Jesus. All right. What's the last verse? 1 Chronicles 15, verse 29. Is that it? Let's read that in the Amplified. What does it say? As the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, David's wife, daughter of Saul, looking from a window, saw King David leaping as though he was playing a sport. He was dancing before the Lord. This is his wife. You know, she's high class. If they are bougie, thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. If they are when they are in the high life club, she will be, what's that book? Is that Booga? What's that Booga? What's that they call? Eh? Is it Booga? But when it comes to the things of the Lord, she will not even open her mouth. And she's like, yeah, prim and proper. She looked at her husband. The man was jumping and leaping and dancing. Not before man, no. And then she even told him, she said, you are dancing before all the virgins. That's what she said, though. It's true. That's what she said. She said the man was dancing before God, but she said, no, you are not dancing before God. You are dancing before the virgins. Lord, deliver me, oh. God, deliver me. It's me and my God, though. No, he said no. She said, it's because all the virgins were in church. Some of you can't laugh. It is very funny. Hey. It's before the Lord, though. It's before the Lord, though. They go all over the town. They say it's because of the virgins. No, it's before the Lord, though. She despised him. Listen to this. Until somebody despises you because of the incredible way in which you are praising your God, because of the incredible way in which you are serving your God, because of the incredible way in which you are loving your God, because of the incredible way in which you are giving to your God. Until somebody despises you because of the incredible way you are serving your God, your praise is not yet a sacrifice. Your praise is not yet a sacrifice. Your giving is not yet a sacrifice. Your serving is not yet a sacrifice. Your loving is not yet. Until, listen, so those of you, I'll ask you again next time I'm here. Until somebody despises you because of the incredible way in which you are praising your God, and because of the incredible way you are serving him, and because of the incredible way you are loving him, and because of the incredible way you are giving to him, until somebody despises you for the incredible way in which you are serving your God, your praise, your service, your love, your giving is not yet a sacrifice. Who is ready to give sacrifice today? Yes. Sacrifice of praise. Yes. Sacrifice of service. Yes. Sacrifice of love. Yes. Sacrifice of giving. Yes. Sacrifice of thanksgiving. Yes. Who is ready in this house? Yes. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Before the music comes, before the music, lift up your voice. Begin to count your blessings before the Lord. If you already wrote it down, just pull it out from where you wrote it. Begin to thank God for everything he has done in your life. If you didn't write it down, your mind remembers. Your mind remembers. Begin to remember. Begin to remember all the things the Lord has done for you, how he has been gracious to you, how he has been merciful to you, how he has been kind to you, how he has been favorable to you. Look at you. Look at where the Lord brought you from. Look at how the Lord called you out. Look at the family you came from, how the Lord saved you, how he changed your life. Look at where the Lord changed your life. Look at where you were going and the Lord called you back, and the Lord redeemed you, and the Lord gave you a new direction, and the Lord gave you a new name, and the Lord gave you a new beginning. Look at where you were going. Look at where you were going. Look at what the Lord has done for you. Lift up your voice. Don't be like Micah, Lord. Don't be like Micah, Lord. Don't be like Micah, Lord. Lift up your voice. Be like David. Be like David. Lift up your voice. Give him the glory that he alone deserves. Give him the praise that he alone deserves. Give him the honor that he alone deserves. Lift up your voice. Come on, I can't hear you. Come on, somebody, I can't hear you. This is our offering of thanksgiving. Wherever you are, you may be on the online, virtual. You are not virtual before God, though. Begin to lift up your voice. Begin to lift up your hand. Begin to glorify your Father. Begin to honor him. Begin to exalt him. He alone deserves the praise. He alone deserves the worship. Come on, begin to praise him. Come on, begin to glorify him. You can do better than that. Come on, somebody. Wherever you are today, if you know what your Father has done for you, lift up your voice. Give him the glory that he alone deserves. Give him the praise that he alone deserves. Give him the honor that he alone deserves. You know he deserves it. You know he deserves it. He is the God who reigns in the affairs of men. He is the God who deserves the worship. He is the God who deserves the praise. He is the God who lives and he will never die. The one who was, the one who is, the one who forever will be. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God. He has never changed. He has never failed. He's the same God. He's the same God. He never fails. His promises have never failed. His promises have never failed. Give him praise today. 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 I cannot hear you. Lord, we bless your name. Woo! Lord, we bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.